Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
I mean, they're really good. This is
the Orlando Magic Studios. Here's your host, Aaron Berlin.
I mean, they're really good. They've been really good for a couple of years, but this is their best team. They've got great depth, and they've played together now for another year. And then, I mean, he's a superstar, man. He's a top four or five player in the league. Got to remember, too, now, they've been, you know, people I don't think talk about enough. I believe they've been top six or seven in both offense and defense for like 3 years in a row. And then you add a superstar, I mean, you're going to be good.
Yeah, they're going to be good, and you didn't think that they'd be good this fast. But how about this? Tonight, the Orlando Magic will continue a four-game run inside the AC. They've dropped the first two games of this homestand. Game number three comes against probably the toughest opponent that they will see during this run, and that would be the Eastern Conference leading, the NBA leading, the Kawhi Leonard-led Toronto Raptors. So how do you break a four-game slide? Well, the NBA is kind of cruel in their scheduling, right? That when things start going south, well, they hit you with one of your hardest opponents. And the Magic are going to have an obstacle tonight. They are going to have a barrier. And they are going to have to play together as a team in case they want to win this basketball game. And with that said, what an intro, right? Hi, everybody, and welcome to Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. My name is Aaron Berlin. Dante is out today. He has telecast coverage. So I will be bringing you today's show, and I think we have a good one. I think we have a fantastic show. Here's what I have on my show sheet. We'll talk about tonight's Magic and Raptors game. That gets underway beginning at 7 o'clock down at the Amway Center. We get underway on the network with Brandon Kravitz beginning at 6:30. But what we have for you on this program is one that I am excited about. It's one that I'm excited to tell you about. Eric Smith, he is the radio play-by-play voice for the Toronto Raptors. He also hosts a midday show for the Fan 590 up there in Toronto. He will join us in a matter of about 8 minutes. This segment's going to be short because he had some stuff to do in segment number one. So we're going to cut this segment short. We'll come back for a longer segment two, but we'll talk to him about everything that is going on with this Toronto Raptors team. And it's a lot. We get into some interesting things, and most notably, how that all-star dynamic with Kawhi Leonard as well as Kyle Lowry has worked out. And we've seen it so far throughout the course of this NBA season is that rarely those two guys have played together. And what that has caused is, yeah, this Raptors team, they enter tonight's game at 26-10. They're 13-6 away from the Air Canada Center up there in Toronto. But more importantly, that they've had this kind of superstar shuffle, right? One night it's been Kawhi, and that was him the other night down in South Beach. Hung 30 points on the Heat in a 106-104 victory over Miami. And then it'll be like Kyle Lowry the next day with Kawhi Leonard resting. Well, we'll talk about this in the second segment, but diving into this Raptors team a little bit more today was something that I had not realized. These two guys together had played a total of 650 minutes together this season, which if you were to do a little bit of a deeper dive and go into what kind of duos are on the court at the same time in an NBA season, that would be 115th amongst NBA duos this year. 115! Those are two all-NBA caliber players that have played a total of 650 minutes. And if you're a math guy and you'd rather do percentages, that's 42% of their games played this year. That is an amazing number to me that we have not seen those two together even more. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about what else this Raptors team is doing, and they're doing a lot of interesting things. First-year head coach Nick Nurse, I think he's tweaked their offense in a very interesting way. I think he's done some defensive things that we have not seen a lot of NBA teams do. Look, I produce every Orlando Magic game, and a lot of times throughout the course of a game, I will talk down the line to Dennis Newman, and I will ask him why more teams don't run zone. And his simple thing is usually NBA teams employ a lot of shooters. Well, this Toronto Raptors team is kind of debunking the NBA norm. They're playing a lot of 2-3 zone. We saw it the other night in Miami when they did it for 15 possessions. And you know what? It worked. Miami posted points on just 5 of their 15. Will we see more of that tonight? That is something I'm very intriguing to or intrigued to see. So here's who's in, who's out tonight for the Toronto Raptors. Kyle Lowry will not play, so might be a little bit more 44% of their games where those two guys aren't going to play tonight. Jordan Lloyd is out. Norman Powell is also out. Chris Boucher is also out tonight for the Toronto Raptors. So it will be interesting to see what we have coming up. Hey, just a reminder, recognize a local youth basketball coach that makes a difference on and off the court, focusing on character, leadership, and integrity. Junior MBA provides a foundation of skills for your child through camps and clinics. All you got to do, vote for your Junior MBA Coach of the Year today. Nominate now at OrlandoMagic.com/Coach of the Year. Okay, we're going to duck in a quick break, but when we return, Eric Smith, the play-by-play voice of the Toronto Raptors, joins me here on Magic Drive Time.
Our Magic never compromise on the court, and Magic fans don't have to compromise when it comes to diamonds, engagement rings, and fine jewelry. You always get more at International Diamond Center. IDC is Florida's leading jeweler, recognized statewide for excellence in every category, selection, value, and trust. And that's why we've been named Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic again this year. So come visit one of our 8 showrooms across the state or 24/7 at shopidc.com/go magic. International Diamond Center, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
The Orlando Magic are at it again with back-to-back games. Come out to Amway Center on Saturday, January 12th, and Sunday, January 13th, as the team takes on the Boston Celtics and the Houston Rockets.
Aaron Gordon, little jab, he'll rise second left on the shot clock and bury the three. Just give me the ball, says AG.
It's a star-studded weekend as the team battles Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, James Harden, Chris Paul, and more. Even better, Sunday night is a classic night. Make sure to secure your tickets at OrlandoMagic.com.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.
Hey, welcome back. Magic Drive Time presented by International Diamond Center rolls along on what is a Friday afternoon. Magic and Raptors getting set for a 7 o'clock tip time down at the Amway Center. Magic losers of each of their last four contests, they will try and break that slide tonight, but they have to do it against the NBA's best mark, the Eastern Conference's best mark. And that's what we're going to talk about here in segment number two, as it is my pleasure to welcome in the radio play-by-play voice of the Toronto Raptors. His name is Eric Smith. And Eric, I will tell you what, this time of year, I'm sure you guys don't mind a trip through the Sunshine State right now, do you?
No. I mean, it was too bad that we had to leave on Christmas Day and leave families behind. But, you know, considering it was, I mean, it's not terrible back home yet. We're, you know, thankfully we're not in, you know, Saskatchewan or Manitoba. We're Southern Ontario, so it's not as bad as some of the other parts of Canada. But there's no denying it's a heck of a lot colder at home than it is here in Florida right now, so we'll take it.
Well, I will tell you what, I'm sure it has been a fun NBA season so far covering this Raptors team. And you know what? A tip of the cap to Masai Ujiri for pulling off this trade in the offseason. Kawhi Leonard has been everything as advertised and then some, but are you guys kind of surprised with how fast Nick Nurse has been able to integrate him into things and how easy of a transition that has been in Toronto?
You know, I think there is a little bit of surprise, no doubt. But I'll tell you, I think the surprise lies more in how much movement there's been in the roster and even among the starting five because of injury, more so than just because Kawhi's here as a new face. You know, I think when you add Kawhi Leonard as a new face, trying to learn new teammates alongside Danny Green as well, Toronto has 3/5 of their starting lineup essentially new because you've got, again, Leonard and Green and also Pascal Siakam, who's starting this year. As opposed to having come off the bench last year. All of that's, you know, a change for everyone to get used to. But then you've had Kawhi Leonard miss 10-plus games. Kyle Lowry's been in and out of the lineup, has now missed 5 of the last 6, and is, well, now 6 of 7, as he won't play tonight. Valanciunas is out for a month. Norm Powell is out for, you know, 20-plus games. OG Anunoby missed some games after starting last year, now coming off the bench. Fred VanVleet was hurt for a stint. Alon Wright was hurt for a stint. Serge Ibaka missed 3 straight games until returning last game. So it's been kind of this carousel of guys coming in and out and then trying to find that chemistry along the way, learn new teammates, learn a new coach and his styles and his philosophies, while still also maintaining the best record in the league and sitting atop the league, let alone the conference. It's kind of been what they've been able to do. And what Kawhi specifically has been able to do through all of that.
You know, it's good that you went there because I was going to bring that up because I saw this nugget today. That Kawhi and Lowry have played just 651 minutes together. It's 115th amongst duos in the league. That's just 42% of the Raptors' games so far. So at some point, when this roster does get healthy, when everybody does get back, how much does that help that those two guys know that if one of them is out, that they can carry the load by themselves?
Yeah, I think that's a huge bonus for this team. You know, you just gave the numbers out, the 42% and the 600-plus minutes. I'm not mistaken, it's 21 games. So there's been 15 games where they haven't played together. And that's not to say that both were out of the lineup, but it's, you know, either Kawhi's playing or Kyle's not, or vice versa, which is, again, the case tonight, as Leonard will be on the floor and in the starting lineup, but you know, Kyle's not playing. I think my only apprehension, and there's no reason to think that this, you know, will or should be an issue, my only apprehension would be if this continues to go on. And the reason I say that is Leonard did miss a couple of games due to actual injury so far this year, but most of his time out of the lineup has been because the Raptors were resting him. They're just kind of calling it load maintenance or load management based on what he went through last year in San Antonio and trying to make sure that he's fully healthy for, you know, when the playoffs hit. That said, I've heard in the new year, Nick Nurse has said that he thinks, not guaranteed, but he thinks that is now going to be over with and we should see Leonard in a full slate of games. As for Lowry, he was dealing with a thigh, and apparently the thigh issue has now become a back issue, maybe overcompensating for the bad thigh, and it's now tweaked or done something to his back, and he's going to have some further testing done, I think, when the team gets back to Toronto. So I don't think that's a long-term thing, but if this continues to stretch on, Aaron, you know, like into January, into February, and maybe you don't then get enough games together, and you don't establish that kind of chemistry or that togetherness on the floor, I think that's where it could maybe turn into a potential negative, where you're thinking it's a positive that it's fresh bodies, you're thinking that it's a positive that, yeah, when we come back healthy, we're going to be strong. But if you don't start getting some time in games, you know, under your belt together, does that come back potentially to bite you as you get closer to the playoffs? So hopefully that's not something that's an issue for Toronto long term.
I was going to say, at the same time, though, this is a very veteran-laden team. I mean, most of these guys have played together 4 or 5 years outside of Leonard. But, you know, at the same time with Lowry, because you guys are in the position that you've put yourselves in, isn't that a benefit where if he does miss 5 or 6 games, it's not the end of the world because you guys are in the position you are in?
Well, and I think on top of that, to your point, yes. And they also have good point guard depth. You know, it's something that the Raptors thought might have bit them in the offseason with Fred VanVleet and his contract status. He was a restricted free agent. And I'm still shocked to this day that nobody made a run at him, including, heck, I don't know if Orlando would have been in a position financially, but I certainly thought Phoenix might have been in position to make a real run, considering their point guard slot. And the fact that Toronto was able to sign him, keep him under their umbrella, and they still have DeLon Wright. Heck, their fourth point guard is the reigning G League MVP in Lorenzo Brown. So Toronto's been able to withstand the loss of Lowry because of having, like I say, the likes of VanVleet and Wright. You know, Freddie's going to start again tonight. I think it'll be his 9th or 10th start this season. And he's a guy that, you know, was in running for Sixth Man of the Year last year amongst the finalists and was as important as DeRozan or Lowry or anybody else during Toronto's playoff run last year as well before getting knocked out by the Cavs and LeBron James. So, you know, he was closing games regularly for this team alongside Lowry in the backcourt. So there's very little drop-off when you go to a VanVleet. I don't think you have the rugged tenacity maybe that you get from Lowry all the time. You certainly don't have the experience. It certainly stings to not have the league-leading, you know, passer and assist total man on the floor. But Freddie's still a pretty solid option for the Raptors. And it allows them then to kind of continue on without skipping the beat that you speak of.
16 points, 38 minutes in the win over Miami the other night. How much of a difference has Danny Green made? We saw it a month ago here in Orlando when he hit that last second shot. Does the same thing in Miami. It kind of seemed like deja vu. But, you know, kind of an under-the-radar part of that trade with Kawhi Leonard. Leonard, obviously, the headliner. How much of a difference has he made for Nick Nurse?
He's been huge. He's leading the team in three-point shooting. He's quickly become the veteran room, let alone on the floor. He's become a fan favorite, let alone a team favorite amongst the guys. I was just talking to Pascal Siakam a couple of days ago, and he said about Danny, much of what I just said, amongst the players on the floor, in the locker room, at practice, et cetera. But he said, you know, we see him speaking to you guys in the media as kind of the go-to, a well-grounded, thoughtful sort of guy who looks at it from unique perspectives and doesn't try and get too high for the high and too low for the lows. But on top of that, he can still play. He's still got the offense. He's still got the ability, as I said, to stretch it out with his three-point shooting and a pretty solid defender as well. When you think about a guy that was a former, you know, All-NBA, you know, second, I believe, team defensively. And when you look at Toronto, when healthy, kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier, but when healthy, and you can roll out a starting five that's got Kawhi Leonard alongside Danny Green with the shot blocking of Serge Ibaka, who is a heck of a lot better than he was in Orlando a couple of years ago, and even a heck of a lot better than he's been in the last season and a half with Toronto. I mean, it's been a renaissance for Serge. when you've got those three players and then still have Kyle Lowry and an up-and-coming Pascal Siakam in your starting five, you're not just good offensively. I think you're pretty dangerous defensively, and Green just adds to that. And you're right. It was an under-the-radar addition to the trade and obviously a very big one. And he's a guy that's very quickly become, I think, a part of Toronto's decision-making in terms of their plans for the future as well, because I think he could be a key piece to keep around come the summertime.
Right now, talking with Eric Smith. He covers this Raptors team on a daily basis, also 590 The Fan in Toronto, but he is the radio play-by-play voice of the Raptors. 26-10, best mark in the Eastern Conference, best mark in all of the NBA, and they're doing it with a new superstar and a new head coach, and I don't think Nick Nurse is getting enough credit for the job that he is doing with this Raptors team. Look, it's tough to come in and replace the reigning NBA coach of the year in Dwayne Casey. It's even more difficult when you're a first-year skipper in the NBA. Talk about everything that Nick Nurse has meant to this team, and I also noticed that defensively, he's starting to make a little changes and be a little more aggressive in Toronto as well.
Yeah, you know, and you noted it earlier when you speak about just small differences maybe that the Raptors have made and small differences, I think, that even a guy like Nick Nurse has been able to make. And when I speak of that, as I talked about the starting five, okay, it's going to be automatic that Kawhi Leonard's going to start, but it wasn't a guarantee that Danny Green was going to be in the starting lineup. Might he be a useful piece off the bench? It certainly wasn't a guarantee that Pascal Siakam was going to be in there. Many thought that it could be kind of the 1-2 punch up front like we've seen the last couple of seasons with Ibaka and Valanciunas. To take a regular starter, a guy who started his entire career in Valanciunas, put him to the bench, elevate a young player like Siakam, have the trust in Ibaka to kind of find that rejuvenation playing now at the five instead of at the four, going with the veteran in the Danny Green. You talk about the defense. He's I think, been quite unique. We saw it with Miami, but I don't think we see it with a ton of teams in the league outside of a handful, and Toronto's in that handful, that will regularly play zone. I'm not talking for, 10, 15, 20 minutes a night, but for stretches here and there for 2, 3, 4 minutes in a quarter, throwing his own defense at opposing teams, just willing to kind of think outside the box that perhaps maybe we don't get all the time from, with due respect, some coaches in the league that have been around a little bit longer, a little more established, and kind of this is the way I do it and this is the way the game should be played. I think, Nick's coming at it with open eyes and some fresh ideas. And certainly to this point is working. And I think it's a lot for him to have managed to this point. When I talk about all the injuries, as taking over for Coach of the Year, being a first-time NBA head coach, and having the superstar and dealing with the load management and dealing with all the headaches from last year that might have followed Kawhi Leonard from San Antonio and keeping that all together, I think it's yeoman's work that Nurse has been putting in, and hopefully can continue in the second half of the season.
Oh, absolutely. And, typically when someone deploys a zone, it's to get an offense out of their rhythm. But you mentioned it. They went for it for long stretches the other night against Miami. I think Synergy Sports had the numbers. They scored on just like 5 of their 15 total possessions, and with the Raptors elected to go zone. Is that something that we could see in the playoffs or even moving down the stretch?
Absolutely. I think from what I know of Nurse as an assistant, let alone as a head coach, he's the type of guy that if something's working, he'll continue to go to it. I don't think he's just going to shy away from it suddenly because it's late season. Or into the playoffs. If it's something that's established and it's something that's been working, especially when you're playing, I think, in today's NBA, a lot of times against undersized lineup and more athletic lineups and whatnot, absolutely, he would not be shy about going to that. I think it's a weapon that Toronto will have in their back pocket for throughout the season. And I would imagine that based on who they see come playoff time, it's absolutely something that could be rolled out.
Absolutely. Right now, talking with Eric Smith. Eric, I will get you out of here on this one, but when I look at this Raptors team, honestly, there's not a lot of deficiencies. You look at the offensive numbers, top 10 field goal percentage, three-pointers, three-point attempts, total rebounds, assists. The numbers just go on and on. The trade deadline looms on February 7th. If this team goes shopping in the market for something, what exactly do you think it is that they're going to try and identify that they need?
I would give you two things, and I think one is probably a greater priority than the other. I think the number one priority is three-point shooting. I think they need another shooter. You mentioned the attempts, but if you look at the percentages, Toronto's three-point percentage is not very great. They hoist them up, but lately, at least last 2-3 weeks, the numbers have been dropping rapidly. And that, I think, right now is, as crazy as it sounds, at 26-10, is a weakness of the team in terms of just not being able to get those shots. And, you look down the roster, and listen, I'm not going to sit here and claim that every guy is a 38, 40, 42% shooter and should be just hitting everything they shoot.
Yeah.
But when you've got Danny Green, C.J. Miles, Kyle Lowry, even Ibaka's ability to stretch from the perimeter, Fred VanVleet, the list goes on. I think you've got shooters on this team. They're not making them regularly, though. And it's I hate giving the cliche of, you know, shooters have to keep shooting and eventually they'll fall, but that's kind of the mantra that the Raptors have been living by now for a couple of weeks, because it's just been perplexing how poor or how inconsistent, at least, they've been from three-point range. So I think they could definitely use another shooter. C.J. Miles has essentially fallen out of the rotation right now because he's been so bad. He's been replaced by Norm Powell, who's finally back healthy. And I'll say, with an exception of tonight's game, because Norm Powell will not play. He's back in Virginia following the passing of his grandfather. So he's at the funeral today and won't play tonight. So that suddenly puts Miles back in the lineup, or at least back in the rotation. But I think they need shooting. If there's another shooter available, many people in Toronto were kind of, you know, buzzing about the possibility of a Kyle Korver earlier in the season. Had that been a chance or a possibility for Toronto? And then the other thing I would throw at you is another rebounder, one other big, because we're seeing it right now. Greg Monroe has provided solid minutes for Toronto in the absence of Valanciunas, but JB's going to be out for at least another 2.5, if not 3-plus weeks. And when you go Ibaka and Pascal Siakam in your starting lineup, with then Greg Monroe off your bench, there's not a lot after that outside of Chris Boucher, the young forward that played last year in Golden State and primarily with the Warriors G League team, and now has kind of been up and down with the Raptors and the Raptors G League affiliate this year as well. So there's not a lot of length or size. So again, I'd say those are those two, three-point shooting and maybe another big body.
Well, February 7th coming fast and furious, and we all know once that deadline hits, things get kind of crazy in the NBA. Hey, Eric, thank you so much. This was a joy. This was the first time we had you on this program, and it was wonderful to talk to you.
Anytime. Thank you.
That was Eric Smith, radio play-by-play voice for the Toronto Raptors. Magic and Raptors getting set for a 7 o'clock tip time. Magic tonight comes up at 6:30 along the Magic Radio Network. Brandon Kravitz will have that for you. That'll do it here for us on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. We are back on Monday. We'll talk to you then.
When it comes to the best diamonds at the best prices in Florida, Magic fans choose International Diamond Center. It's why IDC has earned the title Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic year after year. IDC dominates the competition every day with a massive inventory of hand-selected diamonds, literally thousands of designer rings, an unparalleled selection of fashion jewelry, the guaranteed best values in America, and the strongest warranties in the jewelry industry. Learn more at shopidc.com/gomagic, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
Chick-fil-A has teamed up with the Magic to reward fans with free original chicken sandwiches. If the Magic hit 5 or more three-pointers in a home game, everyone in attendance of that game will win a free original chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
Left corner, that's 48-43. Got it to go.
Right there. People up front.
All you have to do is take your ticket stub or your redemption offer in the Magic app at any participating Central Florida location for a free original chicken sandwich. For official rules, visit OrlandoMagic.com/Chick-fil-A.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.